hello there, and welcome to the Nerd Podcast. That's Never Ending Retro Dialogue. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doug.
And today, I had to make sure that this was recording, because I was like, why? Like, in my brain, I was like, it wasn't recording, it's but it is
moving.
Recording.
It's moving.
I know, it is.
The lines are going up and down.
It's good. Something skipped in my brain. We're going to be doing our end of the month review for February. It's been kind of a long month, I feel. For the shortest month of the year.
It's so. Yeah. A lot jammed into just 28 days, or in this case, 23, because, you know, the month isn't quite over
yet. Right, right. Jellied in, too.
Yes, and
you know, jelly and jam. It's a joke. It's an old joke.
Pickled?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fermented.
Ooh. Fermented February.
Fermented February.
I like that. Well, my first question is, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you, man?
I'm, like, kind of tired.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because I have had a vacation.
Yeah, but you're doing a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just wait till we talk about everything. My gosh.
Yeah, and it's like, well, as I told you downstairs, the problem is once I do one thing, three more ideas take its place.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to have to start cauterizing my brain or something.
Maybe start keeping a journal.
Yeah.
And writing down the other things, and you put pins in them.
Yeah, yeah,
you put them in the parking lot as some of the new corporate jargon. Ooh. Is put that in the parking lot.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, and then you'll come back to it.
That's cheaper than a lobotomy, which is what I was going to do.
Yes, just a little bit.
Yeah, that's how I'd be really a lot of fun at parties with the lobotomy.
You would, yeah.
Hello.
Larry the lobotomist?
Yeah, Lobotomy Larry.
Lobotomy Larry. There's a story in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, there we go. There's three more ideas, there. I tell you. So.
Well, awesome. I guess I should say we're going to be joined by a special guest for the end of the month.
Yeah.
Madeline is here, and she is going to be discussing one of her favorite shows.
Okay.
And maybe other stuff.
Yeah.
Because she's a bit of a Renaissance person, you know. You got the TV, you've got the books, and she's a puzzler.
Puzzler, yeah.
A puzzler. But, so we're going to welcome her in. Actually, she can talk whenever she wants.
Yeah.
She's a grown-ass person, so, you know. But, yeah, so, let's start, because I will start with me, because I didn't do a whole lot this month. That way you two can just run with it. Because I started going through just my mind trying to think of all the nerdy stuff I've done, and it hadn't been a whole lot.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's being a nerd is a lifestyle, so just living is nerdy sometimes.
That's true. Now, I did get to our friend Jerome had never been up in the Nerd Loft, and they came over. He came over for the
Super
Bowl.
He's never been up here. You never been to the Nerd Loft?
Nope.
Wow.
For the Super Bowl, was his first time ever being at the house.
Oh, wow.
So, after Super Bowl's over, brought him up here so he could take a look. So, gave him the proper motivation to see what it's like to be a real nerd.
A real nerd.
Yeah. I did some reorganizing up here. One real fun thing that I did this month is I went up to Wooster, Ohio.
Wooster.
And met my buddy Steven.
Yeah.
Friend of the show. There's a place up there called Geeks and Sweets, or it's Sweets and Geeks. I'm not sure which. Their original store is up in Medina, and then there's Gus for anyone who recognizes
there's the ASMR for you.
There's the ASMR for you. But yeah, so it is in Medina, a huge candy shop that's about three floors. And they sell a bunch of toys and anime stuff and Lego sets.
Wow.
So Wooster's not three levels, it's just one. But it's a pretty decent size floor map.
Okay.
All kinds of goodies you can get there. So the candies and foods they have there, a lot of them are international. So there was a lot of Canadian candy bars, Australian candies, a bunch of stuff from Japan, the UK. And then they had a lot of, you know, retro candy. Like, I got some Big League Chew there.
Ooh, wow.
I got some Chico Sticks and
Chico Sticks.
Yeah. And so just a bunch of different things. Also got some of the best jerky I've ever had in my life there.
What kind of jerky?
It was a small batch air-dried beef jerky. And it was made with black garlic. And this stuff was just so tender. And the garlic flavor was just, oh.
Wow.
The umami, as the kids would say, was amazing. But yeah, so neat little place. Now, their toy section wasn't as big as the one in Medina, but they had a bunch of oddball Lego sets. They had a ton of anime stuff, had a whole Godzilla end cap that really had me tempted, and then a ton of pops. They had a ton of pops there. So overall, really neat place. After that, we went and, by the suggestion of my lovely wife, Sharon, there was this food truck vendor that she had been following on Instagram. And so there's a little local co-op market in Worcester that he serves lunch at on Fridays and Saturdays. So we went there, and he does some soul food. And good stuff. And his business, the whole joke in that is his business is called Big D's. And that was my nickname.
Yeah, that's you.
So great food. He was super friendly. But yeah. And then went to Steve's house and picked up a whole bunch of RPG books.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to show you in the garage.
I'm gonna say.
24 banker boxes of RPG.
Boxes?
24 boxes. Now, they're not all full.
Okay. I thought you were just going to say 24 books. I was like,
No. The toy shows will start to have some RPG books.
That'll be interesting. A little.
I figure that'll be nice at the mini-con, too.
Yeah, that'll be a nice little... What was the word you used? Umami?
Umami, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little... savory.
So, yeah. So, a lot of interesting books. Some are D&D. Some are themed. Like, there's a Army of Darkness one.
Nice.
There's a Princess Bride one.
Princess Bride?
Yeah. And
wow.
It comes with a map, too.
Oh, my God.
Like a fabric map.
Oh, they make a...
Some Aliens.
Yeah. Wow.
Books. All kinds of different RPG. But I have not gone through them all. I gotta get them... inventoried because that's going to be hard to keep track of. And that pretty much
that's your whole month.
That's it's been busy with work, and then the weekends there's I don't think we watched any new movies this month, did we, Madeline? Mm. Oh, we went to our first Columbus Fury game live.
That's true.
What is that?
They are the women's professional volleyball team for Columbus. So we watched that. So that was nice. We're going to be going to another Fury game next month.
Cool.
So anyone who lives in the Central Ohio area, definitely do yourself a favor. Go catch one of those games. Tickets are very reasonable, and it is just...
Where do they play?
Nationwide.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They play it nationwide.
Cool.
It is, the games are just, they do them up pretty nice, and it's not dull, that's for sure. It's very exciting. So, but yeah.
I was kind of hoping it was roller derby. That sounds cool.
No, that wouldn't, there we go. It's, we are fully in with all of the new women's professional leagues.
Yeah.
We love watching the volleyball games, and then there's the hockey league.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. Maddie's wearing her Toronto Scepters sweatshirt. I'm an Ottawa Charge fan.
Mm.
But honestly, I root for anyone who's playing against New York and Boston. So,
that's the American way.
Yeah. And then what? We got lacrosse that's going to be starting soon. It has started already. Yeah. So, and then, yeah. Rugby starts.
You know what they should do? LaCroix should have a sponsorship for lacrosse.
Ooh.
And then you could say, oh, I'm with the LaCroix lacrosse team. I don't know. That sounded funnier in my head.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Well, yeah.
How about with you, man?
Well, as many people have been following my journey at home and stuff, I have been working on my application to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
This has taken a huge chunk of time because I had to write a 15-page paper. I think it's pretty much cooked now.
Nice.
I think. Mostly I'm also running out of time, so it's got to be cooked eventually. But for this book, or for this paper, now this is where the nerd comes in. I read Watchmen,
yep.
Mouse,
uh-huh.
and Dark Knight Returns. I know at home you're thinking, what a cool guy. He read those books.
Yeah.
What a cool guy. And I know. But, yeah, so I had to read all those books and I annotated them. Well, I didn't annotate them like you would with a novel
because yeah.
you can't really highlight on those yeah. pages. So I just color-coded them. And I had 5 sections that I was looking at. And by the time I started writing the paper, I realized I had to cut out 2 of those sections.
Oh, jeez.
I was getting to 10 pages, and I was like, I haven't even talked about 3 things
yet. Oh, my gosh.
So I only talked about 3 of the things out of 5. Watchmen. When's the last time you read Watchmen?
Oh, my gosh.
Has it been a while?
It's been a while.
Yeah. It is way denser than I remember it being.
Yeah.
There's a reason I've only read it, like, every 10 years, I guess.
Yeah.
But this time I got so much more out of it because I was close reading it. It's really such a great book. Like, I know everybody says it's the greatest graphic novel of all time, and I don't want to oversell it, but, like, it's very good. Dark Knight Returns, also very good. Much better than Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Yes.
And The Master Race, which I never finished. But Dark Knight is much shorter.
Yes.
It's only 4 issues, and Watchmen is 12.
Yeah.
And then Mouse, oh my gosh, Mouse blew me away, and I was like, man, I remember reading this, but not feeling like it was quite as good as it was.
Right.
When's the last time you read Mouse?
It has been a really long time, and I'm actually trying to find it over there. There's L. There's M. I don't see... I know I have Mouse. Oh, there it is.
Ah, tucked away.
Yep.
Yeah.
I bought it when it started getting banned again.
Oh, yeah.
And so Alter Ego had ordered some copies in, so I got it. It has been a while.
It's very good, but it is very... It's interesting because... Let's talk about this for a second.
Yes.
Mouse is a very dark, heavy book,
uh-huh.
but it's so much more accessible than, say, Watchmen.
Yeah.
Because I reading those back-to-back, I was like, wow, this is a whole different level of graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
So when people want to read something that's a graphic novel, I would say Mouse would be a good starting point.
Compared to Watchmen, for sure.
Right, because when I was younger, I used to tell people to read Watchmen.
Yeah.
But now I get the folly of that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No one... Alan Moore should never be...
Starter.
The starter.
Right.
And I... Look, I love Alan Moore Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
I have not read From Hell yet. I love Alan Moore, but that should never be anyone's starting point.
Right.
That should never be the jumping off point.
Back then, I thought, you know, like, oh, I love this guy so much, I should recommend
him. Absolutely,
to everyone,
so. Yeah.
But it's funny, because even Morgan one day came over, and she just started reading Mouse, and I was like, what? And she read the whole thing. And even my dad's like, yeah, I want to read that. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It would definitely be a better jumping off point, although with the caveats, you have to understand, here's what it's dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, but I think that's also to its merit, because everybody knows that. It's a shared history.
Yeah.
So it's not like 60 years of Superman lore that you have to know. It's like, oh, everybody knows about this.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of to its strength. But it is very hard it's hard to read, but it's not hard to read. It's just the subject matter is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I wrote about those 3 books because they all came out in 1986.
Yeah.
And I wrote about how they changed comics as literature, as a form of literature. So I wrote 15 pages of this, which, yeah, it feels like a lot. I don't know if that is a lot or not, but it felt like a lot. Actually, you know, it didn't feel that bad, because I took it 5 pages at a time. So I would talk about one thing for 5 pages, and another thing for 5 pages, and another thing for 5 pages. And before you knew it, mathematically speaking, that adds up to 15
pages. 5, 5, and 5.
I'm no math magician, but I did the math. I double-checked the math on that, and it adds up.
So. I think you've got it.
Yeah. So it was wild, and so I've done that. So basically all I need to do now is complete the application. I do need to write my statement of purpose. Mm-hmm. I kind of made a mistake by not doing that first because I'm really tapped out right now because I wrote 15 pages. But I just got to squeak out 2 pages. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Double space, though.
Oh, okay.
So I can do it, but I just don't want to. But yeah. So it's been crazy. So I've been reading a lot of that. And that has really got me back into reading comics as a whole because I was kind of like not reading a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But now I can't even tell you all the stuff I've started reading because of that. But so academically, I'm getting ready to pull the trigger.
Mm. Nice.
Which is kind of scary. But exciting.
Yeah. You know? When would everything start for you?
So the reason that I'm trying to do everything so quickly is because I want to apply for the summer.
Gotcha.
Because I'm like, let's strike while the iron is hot. Yeah. Because let's face it, everybody who knows me knows I'm a little bit, not flaky, but you know what I mean. Like, I get an idea about something, I got to do it right away.
Yep. And, you know. I got you. You don't want to allow yourself that chance to let the embers cool a little, and then you're like, eh.
Yeah, I got to strike while the iron is hot.
Absolutely. Ha, ha, ha.
So it would start in the summer. So I got to get everything ready. I'm hoping next week I'll have everything ready. And
nice.
But, like, I took the whole week off of work. This is where I got into trouble. I took the week off of work to work on that stuff. I'm going to plug this real quick. I'm running a workshop at the library. Have you seen this yet?
Which one?
The one about self-publishing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm doing a writing/self-publishing workshop at the library. And so I've also been working on that presentation at the same time. So I've been doing, there's 3 main things I really wanted to get done. The paper, the presentation, which is pretty much done, and my Jackie Orms comic, which is done. Jackie Orms was a cartoonist who was the first female African-American cartoonist,
mm-hmm.
Credited as. I'm sure she was. I don't know if she was really the first, but sure. She was the first syndicated anyway. And so I did a comic about her for Black History Month, so I got that done. But that was really frustrating because I did it by hand, decided it didn't look good, and I had to redo it by digital. But it took me like half the time to do it digitally. I was so mad. So I did that. The presentation is 20 slides long, but it's all like shorthand for what I'm going to talk about. So. And then the paper. So I took the week off of work. That's where I was going with that. I took the week off work to one, to get a mental health break, but two, I worked continuously the whole time anyway. And because I had extra time to kill, I just started getting extra ideas. This is dangerous for me. I shouldn't have time off. I should just work until I die, basically. So, yeah, I've got a bunch of ideas, and I've been reading a lot of stuff. Now, I will tell you, we can talk about this. I have recently been studying Jack Kirby.
I did see that, yep.
And, man, I didn't realize just how prolific he was. I mean, I knew he was, but
he's a king for the reason.
I knew he was prolific, but once you start looking at his work, you're like, wow, this is really... And I'm reading his biography by Tom Scioli.
Oh, okay.
It's comic. He also did Stan Lee's biography in comics, but I've already read that one. So I'm reading Jack Kirby, and I'm just like, man, this guy could draw so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And he was prolific, and you know, he was the king. So I've been studying at the altar of Jack Kirby lately. Have you read much Jack Kirby?
I've read some.
Yeah.
So I've read The New Gods
and
you know, obviously some of the older stuff. I read his, I had it in graphic novel form, although I have since misplaced it. I had the collection of his Green Arrow work.
Yeah, that was in his book about Green Arrow, because he kind of revamped Green Arrow. Right now, I'm reading The Fantastic Four with him and Lee.
Okay.
My goal is to read all 101 issues of that. They have it all in Hoopla, so it's possible.
Nice.
I'm only 5 issues in, though, because I'm also reading Commandy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have The New Gods on hold at the library. It just hasn't come in yet. But I'm just like, I've heard that...
I have it right there if you want to. Oh,
you do?
Yeah.
It's also on Hoopla, so I might just do that. But I've heard that that's kind of his magnum opus, New Gods. But the thing with Jack Kirby is I didn't realize how much of a sci-fi fan he was.
Mm-hmm.
Because he grew up reading the pulps.
Yeah.
And so, like, I can tell that when he's working on sci-fi, he's really, like, really cutting loose.
Yeah.
And some of that concept, some of the concepts he created, like the fourth world and all that, it's like, what?
Yeah.
But his work on Commandy is really good. Very Thundar-coded, as the kids would say.
Yes.
And which obviously that came first, I think, by a few years, so that makes sense. But he did work on Thundar, but with Steve Gerber. And so, yeah, I've been studying Kirby, and that kind of... So I went to... This is all going to make sense in a minute, but I went to the Billy Ireland Museum. I went to the Billy Ireland Museum, which, if you haven't gone to the Billy Ireland Museum, it's on campus.
Oh,
it's definitely worth it.
Right on now, campus at Ohio State University.
LSU, sorry, yes. LSU. They have an Ed Korn exhibit, who was a New Yorker cartoonist. He's recently died. And then an exhibit... Did you see the pictures of this?
Yes.
Okay, there's a guy named Larry Ivey.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, the first... One of the first, like, comic book scholars. Never heard of this guy before. But his collection of original art... Like, there was an original Superman there. And it made me, like, nearly cry. Like, I was looking at it, and I was like, I'm gonna cry if I look at this any longer. But he... eventually decided that he didn't want to be part of the community anymore because it was becoming more, and I'm assuming, it didn't say the year, but I'm assuming this was around the 90s because it was becoming more of a collector's market and, like, people weren't really looking at it for the art kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that's around the boom, you know, the X-Men 1 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he decided to back out of the community, and I thought that was really sad. But mixed with my love of Jack Kirby now, and there was original Kirby's there too.
Nice.
He had original art from Jack Kirby.
Wow.
I came up with an idea. I wanted to work on a graphic novel for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to do something long form.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all my work is pretty short form, which I like short form. But it's time to test the water, the boundaries.
Here we go. Here we go.
So I put these, so there was like the perfect storm in my brain. And I came up with a graphic novel idea.
Okay.
It's called King. And I haven't told you about this, have I?
No.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
This is all fresh.
Okay. So basically, there's two characters in there. There's the nerd character, Arnie, which I think is the nerdiest name I could come up with. And then there's the king, whose name is Sal Kingman.
Mm-hmm.
And the king is basically Jack Kirby. He is a comic book legend, but he becomes disillusioned with it. And so he decides to quit and just moves into obscurity. Well, Arnie is like a huge fan of comic books. So the plot that I have so far is that the king moves next door to Arnie, and he's like, and his parents are like, go, or he's like, I'll help you move in or whatever. So he's helping him move in, and then he finds out that he's the king. And so he wants to reintroduce him to the world and get him his proper credit.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan is he helps him move in, but then he talks him into going on a road trip to a Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the book is going to be the road trip itself, and then the other part is the Comic-Con. And at the Comic-Con, he's going to run into, not to disparage anyone, but a writer who kind of has all the credit.
So
that's going to be like the climax of the book is the head-on collision of those
two.
Gotcha. So it's mostly a road trip book.
Yeah.
But it's like you got the old nerd guy who's like the king of comics and the young nerd guy who's like the huge like fan. So nice. And they visually look very different.
Yeah.
But one thing that I wanted to do differently was I'm going to throw in artwork from the king.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be me. But I want to try to make it look as different. That's the picture I sent you.
Yes, okay.
So,
yes.
It's going to be done, that artwork is going to be done physically.
Yeah.
The comic books that Arnie reads in the book are going to be done by hand traditionally on paper.
Mm-hmm.
The graphic novel that you guys will be reading will be done digitally.
Very
cool.
So
it's going to be, and also I figured like, oh, these are comics from the 60s and 70s, so they're going to be, obviously they're not going to look digital.
Yeah.
So they're going to look old school.
Yeah.
So, and I even started coloring them differently to try. You know? So, and I appreciate your input on that, by the way.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so the whole point is he's going to try and get the guy out of obscurity.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about embracing your past, but also the future kind of thing. So.
Very cool. So, I love it.
So that was my, it came to me because I was looking at the Jack Kirby art and I was thinking about how sad it was that guy left the community. And I was like, wait a minute, I just got an idea for this.
Boom.
So, unfortunately, because I finished my, you know, pretty much finished my paper, that left my brain open for another idea. And so I've never done a graphic novel, but I did outline it yesterday or 2 days ago, maybe. And it was a loose outline.
Yeah.
It's just a stream of consciousness, you know, writing down what happens kind of thing. I haven't typed anything up yet. So that That's my goal, is to do the graphic novel. And nice. I don't know how long it'll be, but I want it to be more than, like, a couple issues long, you know? Because with Don Quixote, I've done a couple issues. And eventually I'll collect that when it's done. But I want this to be, like, a self-contained, like...
This is
beginning and end.
Yep.
So, I also decided that one of the things that would be fun to do is... The superheroes I created, throw them in there as the characters that the king created.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so that's why I was drawing Mothman, that guy thinking about Mothman.
Yeah.
So I was testing out brush inking versus pen inking.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the thick lines of the brush, but I think they're too thick.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said the pen was better, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was just kind of my test image. And I'll show you some more artwork later, but because I have the King drawn and Arnie drawn.
Oh, nice.
Now,
since you're doing a graphic novel, you're going to have to keep all of these first attempts at drawing them, right? So that you can have a gallery in the back of the...
Yeah, that's a good point.
...graphic novel, that's so that you can see how everything was done. Yeah. You can have original scripts back in there, and you can have the original drawings.
And I will say this... For those of you who, you know, I'm really hoping that I am able to do this. I'm hoping I have the longevity to do this. But one thing that I thought was that I wanted to point out was that Arnie has a shirt on, and it says, it's a jersey, and it says 61.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that because that's the year that they started Fantastic Four, because I've been reading Fantastic Four. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this as like a homage to them. So I'm not trying to drag Stan Lee's name through the mud,
yeah.
But I'm kind of elevating the character that some people think he is into that character.
Yeah.
So I do, because I do need an antagonist.
Yeah.
And so I love Stan Lee. Everybody loves Stan Lee.
Yeah.
But, you know,
There's some
controversies. Yeah, there's some...
Yeah.
There's a complicated legacy there.
Absolutely. And... That's easy to find in a lot of places, right?
So. Well, and with comics, it's especially easy because it's two people.
Yeah.
It's like, who gets the credit for this?
Exactly. Look at the Batman.
Yeah, I know. It's the exact same thing. It's the opposite, though, because Bill Finger got the shaft because Bob Kane was the writer.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so I was thinking about that. So my plan is to stagger my creative attempts because I want to do writing and then draw a little bit of drawing. But then I thought... Then I was doing something, and this idea came to me, this crazy idea about doing a manga.
Oh, okay.
And the reason this is crazy is because, first of all, I don't think I can technically do a manga because I'm not Japanese. I'm not from Japan.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do an American bastardization of it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it right to left, like a manga, backwards, what we consider backwards. But I want to do like a one shot because I've been reading more manga, and I'm like, this would be an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
Because I've never done anything like that. I've done strips, I've done issues, I want to do this graphic novel, but I've never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
So you may have seen my samurai drawing.
Yes.
That's the character I want to work with.
Okay.
His name is Dango, which is Japanese for dumpling.
Okay. Because
my friend said he looked like a dumpling, so I thought that was funny. So, I'm going to try and co-work with somebody on this one who knows more about anime and manga than I do, and the Japanese culture. But I just thought, and because Comics Wellsprings, who I use to print all my comics, does print in a manga format.
Oh!
So that's the thing. I was like, if I can just do it back, what we consider backwards, I can do it.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was a really interesting challenge.
That is interesting.
His name is Dango, and then he has, I haven't drawn him yet, but, so there's Dango running.
Yes.
And, he has an enemy that I created today. His name is, Koda, which is Japanese for twig.
Okay.
Because he's a tall, skinny samurai, like almost emaciated samurai.
Okay.
And they hate each other.
Nice.
Because they're just so opposite. So I was like, okay, I can totally do this. But the thing is, I've been reading more manga because the way they make comics over there is really different.
Mm-hmm.
The way they use certain effects and sound effects and stuff, very different than what we do. And the way that they lay out their page, too, also very different. So those are like the two big things that I... But the manga really is going to take a lot more studying before I start it.
Because
like I know how to read a graphic novel and how to make a graphic novel. Now, I'm not completely helpless with the manga because I have made comics before.
Sure.
But just the layout will be different, yeah. And the speed lines and the sweats and the, you know, it's just crazy what they do. So I'm hoping, and it's got to be a lot more quickly paced, I think.
Yes.
So and there's going to be fewer panels per page, so.
That's exciting.
That was an interesting challenge. I was like, yeah. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try it. Now, I know it will never be considered a manga because yeah. It's not Japanese, but it'll be my hope is it's kind of like Avatar The Last Airbender where people are like, is it a manga? Is it not?
Is it anime? Is it anime? Yeah. There we go. If you can get to where people don't quite know,
yeah.
then that's good.
That's the best I can do as an American comic maker. But... yeah, so those are the two things that are kind of like prevalent on my mind right now.
Nice.
The graphic novel I have I'm a little further with because mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing there.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an interesting couple of months because I think the manga might get done first because it's going to be shorter. It's a one shot.
Yeah.
But the graphic novel will probably get like, I don't know if it'll be written for, well, probably I'll write them both at the same time because one's going to be like 20 pages, the other one's going to be who knows how long.
Yeah.
But, you know, typically a one-shot's like 16 to 20 pages in manga.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just kind of transition to, I've been reading Doraemon again, which I don't know if I ever told you about Doraemon. It's a robot cat from the future.
No.
I got like super obsessed with this guy for a minute. It was real weird. He's a robot from the future, and he has all these inventions, and they always get this kid in trouble because the kid's like kind of a slacker and he's looking to cut corners and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I got into that. I started reading Dr. Slump last night.
Okay.
Do you know this?
I do not.
Dr. Slump is the manga that Akira Toriyama created before Dragon Ball.
Okay.
It's a slapstick, or not a slapstick, it's a huge gag comic. It's a huge comedy.
Okay.
Some of it has not aged well because Japanese sense of humor is a little perverted sometimes, especially in the 80s. That was just normal, I think. Some of it is like, oh. Like, there's a part where he invents spectacles that, like, see through people's clothing. And he's like, it's weird.
Wow.
As a whole, Dr. Slump is pretty funny. But there are parts where I'm like, this did not age well. But, you know,
wow.
Yeah, it's not quite like Dragon Ball. Although Dragon Ball has some of that humor in the original stuff. But I've been reading that. I got a ton of manga recommendations from Dalton. He sent me a whole list. I picked up a huge omnibus of Astro Boy from Barnes & Noble. So I've been reading all that. So
wow.
I've been reading a lot of Eastern and Western comics. Crazy.
Just spanning the globe.
I am, you know, I'm just like, whoa, I'm like globetrotter.
You'll be ready for that international flavor episode that we've been wanting to do.
I push my glasses up for emphasis. nerd emphasis. But yeah, so I've got a lot of stuff that I want to do. And then there's that magazine I want to work on, Panels,
mm-hmm.
which I've been thinking about. Because I did the Jackie Orms comic for it.
Mm-hmm.
Panels is kind of a scholarly article that I want to do. So it's going to have like comics and articles in it and mm-hmm. reviews and stuff. So I want to interview Michael Nino because he already agreed to it. I just have to write the questions. So thanks, Michael. And
Friend of the show.
And I want to write about just different things that interest me. Do a book review. Just stuff that I think is kind of niche
mm-hmm.
That people don't necessarily know about, so I can kind of spread some knowledge. That way people will actually know what the heck I'm talking about sometimes. Because sometimes I'm just like, I just go like full, I go in on it and I'm like, oh, what did I just say? So I've got three things I want to work on. The graphic novel will probably take the longest because
I
don't know how many pages it's going to be. That's the thing. Like with the other ones, it's like I have to be a number that's divisible by 4 because of printing. But then the graphic novel is like, well, that's freeform. Like, whatever, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're probably looking at least 96 pages, right?
Yeah. I'm hoping to get a couple hundred pages.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. That's my hope because I want it to be kind of thick. I want it to be...
You want it to be a proper graphic novel.
I want it to be
novel.
A graphic emphasis on novel.
Nice. Okay.
So we'll see how it goes, but I need to outline it more and develop it more and stuff. So, but like I'll probably work on writing it, and then I'll probably end up drawing the manga while I'm writing the graphic novel because it's going to take so much longer.
Mm-hmm.
the manga is just going to be a silly little see if I can do it kind of thing.
Yeah.
I did watch an anime called Look Back. It's a movie based off a one shot. Very good. It's about a mangaka, which is a Japanese cartoonist. And sad, though. Sad. But good. And it was actually by the guy who did Chainsaw Man.
Oh,
but
okay.
Completely different. Completely different. So it was fun. Well, but okay. It was also sad.
You did leave out one thing.
What's that?
That you've done this month is you did a new Something Like Water.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So I've actually done two Something Like Waters. I haven't posted the second one
yet. Yeah.
But I started the Something Like Water again. And if you guys aren't familiar, Something Like Water is an autobiographical watercolor comic strip / journal, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of a catalog for my emotions, and it's very cathartic. So I started that again. I did the first one. The first one was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I need to ease my way back into this.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like just examining, like, do I have the right to make comics about myself, you know? So, but I got to tell you, I missed watercoloring. I forgot how much it was, how fun it was. And also, people loved Something Like Water. And I was like, hey, you know, more power to you.
Yeah. Something Like Water has always been one of my favorite projects you've ever, you know, I love Gordy.
Yeah.
I've loved all your stuff, but Something Like Water, it's just got that personal feel
to it. It's personal, and people can connect to it.
Exactly. You know, you're giving, by you giving a voice to yourself through watercolor, you're giving everyone else a voice too, and letting them know, hey, you're not the only one that feels like that sometimes.
Yeah, that's kind of my goal with Something Like Water. I did it digitally a couple times, and it's just not the same.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I really miss autobiographical, probably because of Mouse, I was thinking about autobiographical stuff. And then I started thinking, you know, oh, I could just bring Something Like Water back. So I did that first one, and people seemed to really like, you know, it seemed to hit off. You know, people were laughing. People were like, I'm glad it's back and everything. Even my brother, who can be, you know, a critic sometimes, said that, you know, Something Like Water was pretty good. He's like, he actually said, he hit me with the pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah. So that is going to be exciting. I don't know how, I would like to try to do one a week. I don't know if I will, but.
That's a tall order, yeah, right? It's not like you don't have other stuff going on.
I'm not going to put pressure on myself to do it, but. I do want to do it more because I want to paint more. Because I was looking at the newest one I did, and I was like, oh, I got to relearn how to paint a little bit. So, but the second one, I hope to drop this week. So
nice. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's those I've been doing by hand, and I've been doing with a dip pen. Oh, so I've been getting better with the pen. Because, like, when I did that Jackie Orms comic, I was like, this looks terrible.
Yeah.
But I think it's because I don't know how to ink stuff correctly. So, with less ink, I was like, this is better. Because I was, like, coloring whole stuff in, whole areas in black and stuff. So.
Gotcha.
Plus, Dr. Frederick Nietzsche, who is my main character for panels, has curly hair, so it looks like you have to really work not to blend it in with the background. So. But, yeah, so... Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I forgot all that because there's so much going on in my brain.
You do have a lot going on.
Between the writing and the reading, I'm just like, I don't know what to do first, you know?
And then all of a sudden someone goes, hey, we got to record.
Yeah.
And then that just throws another wrench into it.
It's good to get out of the house, though. Good to get out of the studio, which is my house. The kitchen table, I mean.
The kitchen. All right. Well, first, I have to ask you some. What in the world were you looking at up there? What was getting your attention?
I was looking at Moon Knight and Spectre and how they look the exact same, just different colors.
Yeah.
That's true. I never noticed that.
Yeah, they sure do.
They got the hood with the pointy...
Yeah,
and the eyes.
Yeah.
They look the same.
It's almost like they reused the same plastic mold.
Wow.
And they just painted them different.
Are the characters not similar looking like that?
No.
In reality?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No, not in the least. But you're right.
They look the exact same. I mean, the hood is a little wider on Spectre, but... Yeah, they look the same.
I know this is going to blow your mind, but toy manufacturers like to reuse things so it doesn't cost them as much.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, if you look at all the He-Man figures alone, you sit there and go, huh. Wow.
Yeah.
That looks the same.
Yeah.
They're just blue. that guy's blue instead of pale. Yeah. But no, that's funny. Well, now my collection's ruined.
You just need to rearrange them so they're not next to you.
Is that what I need to do? I need to. I'll move Taskmaster up or something.
No, move Sam up.
Move Sam up? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like Sam.
Yeah. Sam is fun. Sam from, by the way, is from Trick or Treat. Yes.
A little pumpkin demon.
He's a little pumpkin demon thing. Yeah.
Demon. I like
Too funny. All right. Well, we're going to have you talk about. Have you ever watched Yellow Jackets?
I've never, but I've wanted to watch it.
I would like to say that speaking of Avatar The Last Airbender,
yes,
they recently officially announced their new series following a new Avatar.
I did hear that, actually.
I had not heard that.
It's about an Avatar who's a twin, who has a twin sibling.
Uh-huh.
So that's a lot of fan theories coming out of how that's going to work.
Wow, I did not realize that.
I thought that was a dream I had, I guess.
It was leaked a while ago, but they just, because it's the 20th anniversary, was yesterday.
Is it really?
Yeah, the first episode.
I just aged 100 years.
I know. So they also announced it.
Wow. That's really cool. 20.
20, yeah. Jeez. And that's like 10 for Korra, I think, then.
Wow.
I think it was 2014, actually, maybe.
So speaking of Airbender, then, did you watch the live action Netflix series?
No,
I forgot all about that one.
Yeah. I think my trust was broken
by M. Night. M. Night busted a lot of people's trust with that.
You know, I saw that movie in theaters.
Ooh,
yeah,
on purpose.
Yeah, well, nobody knew how bad it was at the time. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was. It was like right after it came out, I was like, oh my god, it's Avatar. And then I watched it, and I was like, that was the worst adaptation I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Well, pretty close. I don't know. He-Man was pretty bad.
But they're making a new one.
They are making a new He-Man.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard it was also going to be set on Earth.
Oh.
And I was like, that was the problem with the first one.
I hadn't heard that.
It could be a rumor. I don't know how.
I was going to say, I didn't trust that they were actually doing a new He-Man movie.
Yeah.
Until I saw several different sources talking about it.
Well, it was in the internet forever. It was on the internet forever.
Exactly. And I do notice that the original rumors of a Hemsworth being He-Man is not true. It's some guy I've never heard of.
He's in a lot of... Yeah, I don't know how to describe. He was in this movie based on, like, a One Direction fan fiction.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, there's a lot of those movies. So he was in, with Anne Hathaway, actually, starring across him.
Oh, wow.
So I watched it because Anne Hathaway was in it. He was in a movie based on a book. What else has he been in? I don't know.
But Alison Brie,
but also Jared Leto.
Skeletor. Yeah.
Why? Who keeps giving this man roles?
I don't know. Yeah, I saw that too, and I'm like, man. But I just, we deserve a good He-Man.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what I did this month. I watched the newest He-Man, Kevin Smith.
Oh, really?
They did a second piece.
Oh, yeah. Because
he did the original Revelation.
Yeah.
And I already forgot what this one was called. But, it wasn't bad. It was, you know, it was like six episodes or something, or five. So it was okay. If you're a He-Man fan, it's worth watching. But yeah, and that's all I got to say about that. It didn't blow my socks off.
Well.
But anyways, Madeline is knee deep. Well, I Sharon is too. I had not got into the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
Yet, but you guys watched season one. It's on Netflix, right?
Season one was on Netflix. Yeah. And then we bought on digital season two.
Yeah.
And now we have season one on digital. I think, nice.
And now season three is just now.
Yeah.
And thanks to my wonderful, beautiful friend Carrie, who gave me her Paramount Plus login. Showtime login.
Uh-oh, we're gonna get hit now.
Yikes.
Anyways, Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets.
Explain it.
It's a show about a soccer team, a high school soccer team from New Jersey, and they're going to Nationals. They win their semifinal whatever game to go to Nationals in Seattle, and when they're on the plane, we don't know why, but the plane crashes, and deep in the Canadian wilderness, as we find out in the future, it follows the teenagers trying to survive deep in the Canadian wilderness and the adults that we know of that have survived in, like, 25 years later in the future. And it's amazing.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like, I think all of these wilderness survival shows, there's some Lord of the Flies in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it also, well, I don't want to say something controversial because a lot of people don't believe that there's supernatural things going on, but there's, like, supernatural things going on.
That's, hey, we're here for the hot takes, so yeah. Bring it.
I don't know what I prefer, whether it be all craziness with normal human explanations, like the current new theory after the most recent episode is some kind of mineral poisoning. Like,
okay.
Their camp where they're living in the woods is above these natural gas, and there's leaks, and that's why they're having all this craziness.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like the supernatural stuff better.
I enjoy supernatural takes.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. That doesn't bother me.
Because The Wilds, which I was talking to you about the other day, is another show about a bunch of young women who are on a plane and it crashes and they have to survive. Theirs is different. They're on an island instead of the Canadian wilderness, and that one has more of like a, it's, both of them are very drama heavy.
Yeah.
But that one, I think it's more like science fiction-y the more you get into it.
Gotcha.
But I'm not gonna spoil it because I want you to watch it. And it got canceled.
So you've never watched Lost, right?
I have not.
Okay, because I was curious as to, you know, if it's got that same. I never watched Lost, so.
I watched.
So how long are the episodes?
Under an hour.
Are they? Yeah, so they're like 45 minutes. Okay.
I think so.
How many episodes per season?
I think the first one had 10. The second one had 9, I think, because.
Beautiful.
There was supposed to be the 10th episode that we didn't get for season 2.
Yeah.
They said it was going to be released as a bonus episode before season 3. Never happened. So we're hoping it gets released season 3 now.
Gotcha.
Just season 3 premiered on Valentine's Day.
Oh, nice little gift.
Yeah.
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 We got 2 episodes on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And 1 episode every Thursday. No.
They're on it.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love it.
We were playing Call of Duty the other night, and Sharon went back into watching season 2 or 1. Season 1. And
well, because something happened and she was like confused about the reference, so she went back.
But as we're up here playing Call of Duty, just by the sounds, she's explaining
what's happening
in the show, and she knew exactly where she was at. And Sharon's like, I haven't watched that yet.
I was narrating. I was like, right now, this person is trapped in the plane, and so-and-so is trying to get them out, and then so-and-so did it.
Yeah, she was on it. So wow. Who is, I mean, I know, because we've already talked about her, but, like, the biggest name in Yellow Jackets is going to be Melanie, right?
I think the big quote, biggest name is Christina Ricci, right?
Oh, that's right. Yes. Christina Ricci. And then Melanie.
And then Melanie. And well, I think some of the actors who play the younger versions of them are right, like Sophie Thatcher.
Yeah, Sophie Thatcher's very blowing up.
She's blowing up.
Well, there we go.
She was in Heretic. We saw that.
That's right.
She's in Companion with Jack Quaid, which I've yet to watch.
Yeah.
She was in the trilogy X. And Pearl, she was in one of them.
Okay.
I don't know which one.
What was the third one in that, Maxine?
I don't know which one she was. Yeah. I've seen Pearl, but I haven't seen the other two.
Gotcha.
What else has she been in? She's been in a lot.
There we go. Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
Gets a big thumbs up.
Big.
From 2/3 of the Darrener household, because I haven't watched it yet. So I can't.
On it.
I can't.
Yeah, get on it.
And I didn't spoil anything when I was telling you about what's happening.
That's what she says. We'll see. But I'm going to have to start getting caught up.
I keep the big stuff to myself.
Yeah.
I still got Broadchurch to finish.
Oh, yeah.
We still got half of Broadchurch Season 3 to go.
I'm still working on Buffy.
She's still they working. Are apparently rebooting Buffy.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm scared. I don't know.
With Sarah Michelle Gellar, though. So.
I'm on Season 7. No spoilers. I think I'm going to watch either Charmed or Xena next.
Oh, I would watch Xena. From what I've seen of Charmed and Xena, I would watch Xena.
Okay. Watch Xena. Okay. That would make your grandfather proud.
There you go.
He loved watching Xena and Hercules.
I watched a ton of Hercules.
Yeah, he watched both of them.
It was like Hercules would be on Sci-Fi Channel for like 6 hours a day for a while there. And it was like I would always come home from school and watch Hercules because I was like, wow. But Kevin Sorbo,
he's kind of a, yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about it off air.
But Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless.
She was in Battlestar Galactica.
She was. What was the show that she was on Stars? Spartacus? Was that the name?
I don't know.
Yeah. You
I
know another.
Started watching Survivor. Didn't talk about that.
You, yes, yes.
I'm a Survivor head now.
She's a Survivor head now.
Well, but I had to start on Season 9 because that's all Hulu had.
Yeah.
And then I watched Season 10, and then the next season they had was like 14. But I discovered Paramount Plus has all the seasons,
oh, wow.
So I can go back to Season 1 and see very, very young Jeff.
A very, very young Jeff. One other thing that we discovered we could do is she has an app that she subscribes to, Dropout.
Oh my gosh.
And
Jordan.
It's available on.
Is that. What Jordan. Is that?
Jordan.
Jordan, I need. I'll give you my.
But it's available on Roku. We could download it on Roku.
Oh, I have Roku.
And so, yeah, go to Dropout.
The subscription, I think it's like $5 a month. I just paid for the whole year.
They do.
Up front?
They do a lot of pop culture fun stuff.
Oh my gosh. Okay. My introduction, well, I always saw TikTok clips, but I'm a huge Dimension 20 fan. Big fan of listening to people play Dungeons & Dragons. And I love Dimension 20. I think I've seen most of this series. I'm working through them right now. Game Changer is on there.
Game Changer's Grace. Great.
Hold on. Actually, that's a... I think that was my second thing from Dropout I ever watched. Actually, I think you would like them.
Actually, you would really
it's,
like.
The whole point is it's a nerd show. It's the host who previously was Mike Trapp, but he's gotten so successful that there's a new host. And I also love him, Ify Nwoye. And, sorry. And they say statements about nerdy things.
All right, yeah.
And then the person who has to figure out, or the people who are competing against each other, have to figure out what's wrong with the statement.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I don't know, what's a fake statement?
Well, so and the statement is like 99% true, right?
Yeah.
So it would be something like, you know,
Batman's
parents
were murdered when he was 18.
In Alan Moore's The Dark Knight Returns. And then boom, 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 boom. And then you'd have to, actually, it was Frank Miller that wrote The Dark Knight Returns. It would be something like that.
Yeah.
Or it could be even more in it. So where in Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, you know, and everything would be right. And then it's just a weird sentence like, well, actually, his Batmobile wasn't black. It was blue or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it'd be something like that to where... It's just the most.
It's so good.
But it's great.
Check that out.
Yeah, actually is great. Game Changer is hilarious.
Game Changer's so good.
And then what's the one that spinned off of that?
There were like three spinoffs of Game Changer. Make Some Noise is probably the most popular.
Make Some Noise,
one.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on the names. The other one is like a truth or drink type thing where what is it called? Dirty Laundry. That's what it's called. And the host reads out a secret, and then the contestants have to guess whose secret it is.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
And
that one I haven't watched.
And then there's another one that's more musical based.
Yeah.
I've watched a few episodes of that, but yeah, I watched mostly Dimension 20.
Yeah, it's great.
Which led me to NADPOD, because two of the people who were in the original Intrepid Heroes gang on Dimension 20 have their own Dungeons & Dragons podcast that I started listening to.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, you got
Okay, oh, yeah. I'll look into it.
Check out Dropout. Yeah.
$60 a year. So worth it. I'd pay more.
Yeah. I'm actually Game Changer. If all you did was watch I'm actually Game Changer and make some noise,
it'd still be worth it.
I think it'd be worth it. Those are all just so much. They're so fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And now that we have it on the TV, I can't believe we finally found it.
Yeah, because she would simulcast it. She would, you know, from her phone on TV, which is fine. But now that we actually have the app and we can just boom, 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 boom.
It's higher quality.
Yeah. And I can watch it when she's not here. Because it's on. It's already on the Roku.
There you go.
Wow.
But yeah, so.
I'll look that up tonight.
I think you'll enjoy it. Yeah. Yeah. I would, if I was you, I would start with actually.
Yeah, I think that's.
I think that's that would be a good dropping off or jumping in point for you. Yeah. Game Changer stuff's fun. You know, it's very. Whose Line Is It Anyway? Esque.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of improv.
Okay.
Well, it's all improv, especially Make Some Noise.
But, my favorite, I think a lot of people agree with this, but some of my favorite episodes are Sam Says, where it's like Simon Says.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They get so intense.
It's fun. So, yeah, but I would start with them actually, and then, Make Some Noise, Game Changer. Those three for sure. Give some time to.
And you can watch free episodes on YouTube first before you decide to.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
That's how they get you.
That's how they got me.
It's always free. Yep. Give you a taste. But so.
Okay. I'll there look we go. Into that.
And then, so we had talked about in January's end of the month episode, which by the time we're recording this, we haven't posted yet. So we're going to do a twofer special. But we're going to, we make a mention to a survey question we were going to ask that we didn't. I forgot to post it online. So I will do that for March. And I did get one response, though. So maybe I'll go ahead and share it. Yeah. I had asked a coworker, who Maddie knows. And not only did they give me a Mount Rushmore of heroes.
Oh, yeah.
But they, here is which president this hero would be.
Okay, interesting.
So they went above and beyond, which is what they do. So George Washington is Superman. Because Thomas Jefferson was wealthy elitist and whatnot, he's obviously Batman. Abe Lincoln was Spider-Man, and Teddy Roosevelt is Wolverine.
Okay, I can see that.
So, those were his heroes for Mount Rushmore, and so he wanted to try to, equate them to one of the presidents. So, So there we go. So we'll ask that online to try to get some more responses for March. Yeah. We still got to record our part two to DC animated movies.
It's interesting because I think the Mount Rushmore is going to be very similar. I think there's only going to be one slot that changes.
Yeah. Yes.
For the most part.
I think you're correct. Yeah. I think most people will have the same three, and then yes. Mm-hmm. I have a Mount Rushmore for superheroes, and then I had to do a separate one for just regular comic book characters.
Yeah. Ooh.
Because... Yeah, I had to. So that was just me. I'm trying to think who we talked to the other day about Sweet Tooth. Who was that? Oh my gosh, who was it? I'm trying to remember who it was. And they did not realize it was a book. They had watched the show, and then they went and bought the compendium and read it, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
All that to say that Sweet Tooth would definitely be on my non-superhero.
Mm.
I think Bone would be on my non-superhero Mount Rushmore. I'm struggling after that. I have to go through my whole psyche of non-superhero.
I'd put Archie on there.
Oh, for me,
personally.
You know what? I'd probably put Gru on mine.
Gru, yeah.
Yeah.
The non-superhero one has more faces, apparently, because I'm like, oh, yeah, we should do this person,
yeah.
Just Alan Moore. His whole face.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. But, yeah, so Usagi, something. Maybe. Oh, you know, I was going to say she just moved, and there's Usagi Yojimbo on there. It's like, oh, we could put Weapon Brown on there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? But, so, yeah, so we'll make sure that question gets out there. And, yeah, I'm going to put some feelers out to our friends about getting part two for the board game recorded. And then Parker has been doing a lot of research, has been watching some of those shows. So he will be ready for that episode, which I think will be fun.
Yeah.
So I do want to watch some Preacher to get ready for it.
I never watched Preacher.
I didn't either. And so I want to, I've always kept myself from watching it because I love the book so much. That I don't want to, I don't want to unfairly critique the show because it could be a very fine show. Now they've been enjoying it; they have no reference point,
right?
So, but yeah, so I've got that, and I've got Wynonna Earp in my queue because I want to watch some of that. I'm going to try to watch. I was going to try to watch Umbrella Academy, but Parker will be able to cover that for us. So, same with. I've not watched any of The Boys.
I've seen the first.
You haven't watched The Boys?
No. No.
Have you watched Invincible?
Season one. I watched it with you guys, remember? You guys were like, you gotta watch this. So we binged season one, and yeah. And I've watched, I haven't watched any of season two.
I watched The Boys, though.
Oh. And is season three for Invincible out? Is that what you guys were binging yesterday?
Yeah.
Because season two was done in two parts, right? And then they've already released season three.
Not all of it.
Okay.
It's like an episode at a time, I think.
Gotcha. But a lot shorter time between season two and three than there was between season one and two, right? Because there was a pretty big, decent gap between season one and season two.
I feel like they probably did season three, like worked on it at the same time as they did season two, and that's why it took so long.
So, yeah, so hopefully this time next month. I don't know. Do you have any desire to go watch Brave New or New World Order?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I jumped ship to the DC ship now.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for Superman.
I can't wait. That's July, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I am very much looking forward to that. Still have not watched any Penguin.
Let me say this. I didn't jump ship to DC. I've always been on DC side, but now I'm publicly doing it.
Ooh. Yeah, Marvel definitely, they've taken a few steps back.
Yeah.
I think they flew too close to the sun.
Yeah.
On wings made of pastrami.
Mmm.
So.
Delicious.
Delicious. But, oh, that's Seinfeld, right?
I don't know.
I think that's a Seinfeld episode reference.
I'll probably see Fantastic Four.
That looks, I will say that looks good. The Thing.
Yeah.
Looks good, and I love the fact that his voice is a normal voice and not, you know, synthesized in any way to sound like a rock creature. He just sounds like a normal person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm quietly optimistic for Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Brave New World. I'll probably just wait till it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely looking forward to Superman. I don't know if there's any other movies out that are coming out that make me want to jump for joy.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't make them like they used to.
Nope. I'll have to look. But I definitely know American Primeval. People are telling me I need to watch that. So that's in my queue to watch. It was a limited series on Netflix. So just not enough hours in the day.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, but anywho, all right. You got anything else, Madeline? Thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Do I have anything else?
Yep.
Support your local libraries. Support your local bookstores.
There you go.
Support your local Doug.
Support your local
Jordan. We're gonna be supporting some local bookstores in a couple weeks. So
I downloaded this app. I can't remember what it's called, but you can use it to buy books online through local bookstores.
Nice.
Oh wow.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
Any of the big dogs. That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm figuring out how to use that.
Awesome. Well, there's an app that a friend turned me on to called Experience Columbus, and and there's in it there's different trails. I use air quotes here. Mm-hmm. So there's like the coffee experience.
Oh, I see.
There's the sweet treat experience, and then there's a pizza experience, and so it gives you it gives you all the places that you can go to. Now the pizza one, I'll say, it has some corporate ones on there, so it's like, even though they're originally Columbus based and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But like the coffee shop one, it's all a bunch of mom and pop little coffee places that pop into, so looking forward to finding new places for that, because yeah, I love finding the little gems. So but yeah, so all right, well, I've got nothing else either. If you've got nothing else,
I've said a lot.
You're tapped out.
I've said many words tonight.
We should do a count someday.
Yeah, I think we can do like a transcript and then yeah,
see how many.
Yeah,
no. You'll just sit here with a counter?
Yeah.
Gosh. All right. Well, very good. Well, again, Madeline, thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll be able to rein her in to do more updates on Yellow Jackets. And
no
maybe
spoilers.
No spoilers. Maybe we can get her to talk about puzzling sometime, because she loves doing jigsaw puzzles.
I love jigsaw puzzles.
So, and then hopefully I can build my Lego Gotham skyline, and we can post a picture of my victory with that.
Yeah,
but
that would be great.
It will be great. It's a little daunting, but I'm up for the challenge.
How many pieces?
4,300 pieces, 4,200 and some.
A lot.
It's a lot of pieces.
Wow.
Yeah, it came with two or three instruction booklets. And
volume one.
It is, yeah. I'm going to have to set up a table down in the basement, I think.
That's wild.
And work at it in phases, obviously. I would do one of those cool time stamp videos or time stop or whatever the heck those are. But I don't want to see... I don't want people seeing me cry when I mess something up and I have to tear it all apart and build it back together.
It's understandable.
Because I don't have Wyatt here.
Mm, true.
Oh, I do have you.
I build Legos.
You build Legos.
I do jigsaw puzzles.
And she does jigsaw puzzles. We still got to redo the one that you got me for Christmas a few years back. The wooden one.
Yeah, that one was hard.
Now
that I'm more...
Experienced,
yeah, maybe I'll be.
Maybe we can get it, and then once that thing gets built, we're taping the back of it, and it's getting put in a frame because
it is difficult.
Cool, and I love the smell of it because it literally smells like you're at a campfire when you're building.
Real
that's cool.
Wood, and they're thick pieces. Like
yeah, they are thick. So
can you use puzzle glue on that, or do you have to have special glue? Maybe.
I don't know.
I think we should just tape it.
Because I've used puzzle glue before, and it holds amazing.
Yeah. She started taping the back of her puzzles.
Oh,
you should see all the ones she has hanging up.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you a puzzle tour.
Yeah, it's quite a few.
That's cool.
She's, yeah, she knows her stuff.
I like puzzles.
Yep. The puzzler.
Oh, the puzzler.
That would be, what an interesting villain. Or do we make them a hero, but they can break themselves, they can disassemble themselves.
Oh yeah.
And rebuild themselves to fit a certain way.
Wow, yeah, that could be either one.
Yeah.
Social commentary.
Ooh. Yeah. Now we're getting deep.
Yeah. I'm gonna write a 15-page paper about this.
Oh boy. Oh, here we go.
The puzzler.
I miss writing papers.
Cite your sources. It came to me in a dream.
It came.
How do you cite a dream? I don't know.
Yeah. See, I had 3 gin and tonics, and then it just came to me. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, until next time, then.
That's
right.
Thank
you, everyone, for your patronage, and we will see you in the near future. Stay nerdy.